Our gospel this morning is recorded in the Gospel of Mark. This story provides the turning point in Mark's gospel. Peter is the first human being in the narrative to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. But he cannot accept that as the Messiah, Jesus will also suffer. Moreover, Jesus issues a strong challenge to all by connecting discipleship to the cross. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 8th chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus the Christ. Questions, questions, questions. Questions, I think, grab us by our imaginations and they pull us into thinking deeper about God's love, grace, and mercy. There are important questions in the scripture reading this morning. I want to focus especially on the questions that are early on. The first question really isn't very confrontational. It doesn't get very much in our face. The very first question is this. Jesus looks at the disciples and he says to them, "Who do the people say that I am?" Not very personal. So they look back at him and they say, "Well, some of them say that you're John the Baptist, come back to life. Others say that you're Elijah, and still others say that you're one of the prophets." But here's where it gets interesting. Jesus then looks at them again and says, "But who do you say that I am?" Now that's a question that gets personal. It is a question that Jesus lays right in each of our laps, mine and yours, this day. Who do you say that Jesus is? It's really a question of faith. So we're pretty excited. This is Rally Sunday. We got to play a little bit of bingo, win some candy and prizes, have some ice cream in between worship services. If you missed out, I'm sorry. You're going to have to come back to another one of our good gatherings later on. It was a lot of fun. We're excited about Rally Sunday because once again, we're going to see more kids around here. It means that confirmation will be starting in 10 days or so, and I am looking forward to hanging with the kids. Last year, my first year of being able to do much of anything with confirmation, and I didn't get to do a lot because Pastor Lee and intern Colin led a lot of it as I was trying to figure out the rest of Trinity. But this year, I get to be more engaged with confirmation, and I'm excited. We are taking confirmation in a little bit of a different direction, as we have been with our entire faith formation here.
trying to help people grab hold of the stories of Jesus. In one hand, to hold those scriptural stories, and in the other, to hold your own life. And then to sit back and ask questions in the midst of them. See, here's what I believe. It's important to know facts about Jesus' life, in a way, like where he was born, what his ministry looked like, who he hung out with, who he challenged, how he got into arguments with the religious leaders. But the truth is, I think more important than just digging around with facts is the ability to sit together with other believers and wrestle with the questions of life. Scripture in one hand, life in the other, wrestling together about how God connects with us. I mean, that's why for about the last year we've been making available to everybody this Taking Faith Home insert. It's out at the welcome table absolutely every week. It follows along with the lectionary. It gives you a short Bible reading and a process for talking through the scripture each week. Why is it important that we do that? Because the truth is, all of us wrestle with really important questions. I mean, if we say that Jesus loves me, like we just talked about with the kids, well, then all of a sudden, some questions might start popping up. Well, if Jesus loves me so much, why don't other people? And as a matter of fact, why are there people who are mean to me? And sometimes kids who are in school might ask the question, and why do I get bullied? If we think about it, there are other questions we might ask, questions like, God, if you are so great and are in control of the world, then why are there such messes? Why do things like 9/11 happen? Why has COVID been unleashed on the world? Why is it that cancer has its way in people's lives? Lord, why is it that people who are way too young die? Lord, what's going on? There are all sorts of questions that come into our lives that we can wrestle with. It is not unfaithful to sit and read scripture and wrestle with questions like that. This morning, I want to let you know that we are digging into some things a little bit differently in confirmation as well. We're doing something called the Faith Five that we are inviting all of our families to be involved in every day, to take a few minutes around their table to do a process of engaging scripture and talking about life, just doing the stuff that I've been talking about. And guess what? You get to practice it this morning as well. Now, if you're an introvert and you are screaming inside right now that I said that I'm going to invite you to talk to someone else, don't worry. If you open up your bulletin, you will notice that there is a page there that has these same questions. And if you want to sit and grab a pen and scratch answers there, you sure can. But I invite others of you who are more open to talking to lean over to the person next to you. Here's what I want you to do. It starts out with this really simple piece. What are the good things, so the highs, that have that happened to you yesterday? What were the lows that happened yesterday? So what were the highs? What were the lows? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to chat with somebody near you or to write some notes. Highs and lows. So I'm going to compress this time a little bit. At home, you could spend as much time in this part as you would like. The second step in the Faith Five is this, reading just a little bit of scripture. So if you had taken this piece home with you, there's a little scripture reading on the back that you could use each day. Today, I'm just going to read for you a short bit of the gospel again. Here, the very beginning of Mark 8 again. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they answered him, John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. That's the second part of the Faith Five. The third part is to talk again, to think about your highs and your lows and connect that with the scripture reading. So in the midst of your highs and your lows, how does it connect with that scripture reading? So a question might be, in the midst of my lows, what does it mean that Jesus is Messiah? Invite you to chat just a little bit for a minute or less with those around you. The fourth part of the Faith Five then would be to be together around the table and pray. Or maybe you're sitting in the living room or wherever, that you would pray around people's highs and lows and what you talked about. And the fifth part is that you would take a moment to bless one another. To bless one another might mean to invite everyone to make the sign of the cross on their forehead, or for someone in the family to do that. Kids often love to do that to others, to mark the sign of the cross. To say something like, "Remember, Jesus loves you," or "You are a beloved child of God," or "You are precious in God's sight." All of those would be wonderful blessings, and you might figure out a family blessing on your own. You know what? Later on in that scripture, there are other incredible questions that pop up toward the very end of the gospel reading that we had today. Questions that lead us to think about what is the center of our lives, where do we want to invest ourselves? Brothers and sisters in Christ, this process of the Faith Five is a calling to us to begin to gather together around the family table to understand together the incredible gift that we have been given through Jesus Christ and to be strengthened. And here's why. I'm going to wrap this thing up really quickly. But the small catechism, which we study in confirmation, is often seen as a torture device used by pastors upon middle school kids. Did you feel that way when you were in confirmation? Did you love the small catechism? Maybe not so much all the time. But here's what Martin Luther wrote about why he wrote the small catechism. This is in the preface, which nobody ever studies. Luther writes, "Grace, mercy, and peace in Jesus Christ our Lord, from Martin Luther to all faithful godly pastors and preachers. The deplorable conditions which I recently encountered when I was a visitor constrained me to prepare this brief and simple catechism or statement of Christian teaching. Good God, what wretchedness I beheld! The common people, especially those who live in the country, have no knowledge whatever of Christian teaching, and unfortunately many pastors are quite incompetent and unfitted for teaching." Martin was being a little fiery that day as he wrote this. He continues on, "Although the people are supposed to be Christian, are baptized, and receive the Holy Sacrament, they do not know the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, or the Ten Commandments. They live as if they were pigs," he goes on to say. Luther was concerned about what he saw in the day, so he penned the small catechism, and he invited families to sit with that catechism around the table and to talk about what God was up to in their lives. The catechism and scripture are meant to be a grounding for us for faith and life. I hope you grab hold of that gift this week in your house or alone as a place to focus on what God is up to. Scripture in one hand, life in the other, not being afraid to ask questions. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for the blessings that flow from your cross to us. Stir us, Lord, to faith and faithfulness. Let us know that asking questions is an act of deep faith in you. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, please. Amen.